We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
Ghosting is the way to do it. The whole don't leave a party without saying goodbye to everybody, it's such a pain in the ass. Nobody cares if you're leaving.
Nobody gives a f***.
No, people care, though, because this is why it's a whole thing.
You're looking at the master of leaving parties early. The key is you have to make a strong impression, so you want to have a picture taken. You want to say some peculiar non sequitur that people remember. I don't mean to brag, but New Year's Eve, I was home by 9.
I thought it was a Jewish thing. I was just thought it was like a like this over-the-top, like Beth is
it's
like...
It's an everybody thing.
Where Beth,
we do it everywhere.
She'll say, like, I think it's time that we start saying goodbye, which means we're leaving in 20 minutes.
Well, I suppose it's about that time.
Leaving a gathering without saying anything is known as the French exit or the Irish goodbye.
Or the Houdini.
Caught me. I was going to do the Irish goodbye. So.
Or you leave without telling anyone?
That's what we do.
No, sir. We don't do that here.
So she left. Who cares?
I'm in a better place.
Well, bye.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 a.m. till 2 on 670 The Score.
I actually did that yesterday during transition because we were going until like 4 o'clock and I had to go. Did you notice?
Yeah, we noticed. We that's what we said. Parkins and Spiegel are like, she just left.
Oh, yeah?
She bailed.
I had
she's
to be
bored.
I had to be at a meeting in 9 minutes. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be late for the meeting.
Yeah, then you get to the meeting and your first thought is, I don't have to be in this meeting.
No, it's a weekly meeting. I got to be in it.
No, I think you should be fashionably late. But like, you know, I would love to have gotten to the meeting on time, but I had more important things to do.
They know exactly where I am.
Right. So you can say, look, I was at the Score. And the Score matters more than you television people. I know that's not true.
One of my jobs is full-time. The other job is part-time.
And TV people have to, they're like the A and B students, and the radio people are all the C students. I know how that works.
I don't necessarily know that that's the case.
Pretty much. Because the TV people have to also look good.
I don't.
You know, they have to shower every day.
Oh, I did get a new lotion, and I'm super excited about it, and it's
Sweet.
Making me happy.
Really?
So, like, if I reek of this lotion, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry to myself. I'm only sorry to you.
That's fine. It's
called Ocean Breeze.
Ocean lotion? It's a lotion from the ocean with the motion.
Ew.
I don't know.
No, it's from Hemp's. It's like, it's called Ocean Breeze, and
okay.
It sounds like it wouldn't be as, it sounds a little like, I don't know, early 2000s white stitch jeans-ish, if you get my drift, baggish, but like, this is not.
Okay.
It's good, and I like it.
Okay. I don't have a lotion or a preference, because.
Sometimes people like smells, and then smells affect them emotionally.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
But.
I'm in the zone on this.
But if it's like, I don't go much past like. Suave body wash.
That's okay.
Whatever the least expensive thing is on the shelf.
Irish Spring has a good scent to me still. That's a classic.
I use Irish Spring. It's the good stuff.
It is. It's good. The blue one was really good. I liked that one a lot too.
Yeah, the commercial always had the guy dressed all Irish with his Tam O'Shanter on, and he would take out his pocket knife and he would cut into the soap.
He would cut into the
Remember?
Soap. Why?
I don't know. He'd cut into it because that made it official. It made it like it's real. Look, this is real Irish. I'm out here in the heath out in the Irish farmland, and now it's all authentic, and I can cut into it. You'll be cleaner because you can cut.
I think it's because it didn't flake. You know, there used to be like if you cut into certain bars of soap, they would flake.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like
I just remember that's what they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
But I
clean a lot, not enough, but I clean.
It was Zest, and it was Coast, mm-hmm. and
Ivory,
Safeguard.
Ivory was the one we used in my house. I think if you cut into that one, it would flake.
Ivory is the one we always had to use at camp, like on a canoe trip, because that's the one that would biodegrade. That if you were going to wash in a river or a lake, it was suggested you either use ivory or what was the...
Because it was 99.
No, yes. Yeah, but there was the other one. 44%
pure.
Was it Dr. Bronner's
Castile soap? I use that now.
Like the peppermint one, and it had weird things all written on the label.
Yeah, I use it
they
now.
They still make that.
Because it's natural. So like I use it... I buy the bar.
But there were certain places you didn't want to get that because it gets all tingly.
No, you can use it. It's just the... probably because it's peppermint.
The peppermint oil.
See, I use the peppermint on my hair to like wash out all the hairspray and such.
Really?
Yeah. So, soap talk.
Yeah.
Soap talk and soccer talk.
Soap and soccer. You want to really...
Coming at you.
You want to build an audience? Talk soccer. Talk soap. Talk more soap. Stop talking soap. You don't know nothing about soap.
I tell you what, nobody's talking about that Old Spice.
That's right. Nobody says anything about that anymore.
Old Spice also has a original Old Spice, like the brown soap on a rope. Man, that's got some, like that's a scent that takes you back. I know you guys know what I'm talking about.
312-644-6767 is the number to this kind of this compelling sports talk.
Hot soap talk.
As we broadcast live from the Hyundai studios, they're brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That's Ray Diaz, our executive producer. That's Adam Trash Panda Studzinski, cutting and scratching on the wheels of steel. And we also have Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, and everybody helping out.
Adam, don't call him a koala. Better call him a trash panda.
Yeah, seriously.
And don't get me started.
No.
It was a great take. It really was.
No, feels very strongly about it. He's done his research. Also, happy birthday to the movie Alien, which is 44 today.
Still haven't seen it. Not gonna.
Really? Why?
Because that should be a good enough answer.
It's fantastic.
I don't like nightmare fuel.
Well, it is that.
It's more thriller than nightmare, I think, anyway.
I'm out.
But I guess if you don't like the idea of things jumping out of things' stomachs, then yeah, not for you.
Spoiler alert.
All right, when did that movie come out? 1980?
That's like all people know 79. About that
I think
movie.
I think we're over the statute of limitations on spoilers for Alien, one of the most popular movies of all time.
Okay.
I like your style, Studs. I feel like you're correct.
Just making sure. So when the Cubs and Sox win on the same day, it feels like a rarity this year. I know it's happened a lot, but for some reason it just... And you're probably more in tune than I am because you do a daily like sports cast show thing where you tell people who did what.
Yes.
But it actually was just last Friday that they both won on the same day.
And the problem is they've also lost on the same day many times. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So that's the flip side. Michael Kopech, all we asked was, can you follow this up? And he gave us an answer. That answer was yes.
Resounding yes. Resounding yes.
That was a fun game to watch by him. If you like pitching, that was enjoyable.
And you knew it from the first inning. Wait, intentional?
Oh, wait. What was the F? Focus.
Focused.
Intentional.
Deliberate.
Deliberate. There was a U in there.
Unbothered.
Unbothered. And T? Was it Fidut?
Yes, but the T was for...
Transponster.
It wasn't tranquil. It was...
You guys better get that reference. Somebody.
Focused. Okay.
He is tranquil.
Yeah, but it wasn't tranquil. Unbothered, deliberate, intentional, focused, and tolerant.
Tolerant.
It seems
like an important word in these days.
Tolerant. It was a very, really interesting choice of words that he gave us. It was basically, he was saying, don't be Cornholio, because that's his problem, is that he said...
He didn't say, but in so many words he was,
because everything we had observed about him being like... When he gets like a sugar high, you know, he called it aggression. Are you threatening me? So if he can make sure he's tamping down, he's avoiding channeling his inner Cornholio, and he can remain focused, intentional, tolerant, unbothered, and deliberate, he can find that. And you know what? And actually, Stroman talked about it too. There was a Stroman post where he talked about a flow state, right?
Yeah.
Which is actually something from psychotherapy.
It's also yoga. That's yoga.
The idea of a flow state?
Yeah.
Let's hear what Stroman said.
A little bit of both, but for me, For me, it's a fine line because I'm not someone who pitches well when I try to do too much. So I'm always trying to take my energy level down, to be honest with you. When I get too excited, my mechanics get out of whack. So I always try to stay as calm as possible out there. When I'm calm, I'm usually pretty good. When I get excited, my pitches start to kind of get a little off. So for me, it's finding my breath and finding my calm, finding my center before every pitch, which sometimes is hard to do now with the pitch clock. But that's kind of what I'm trying to do before every pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think in another answer, he used the word flow. He talked about, some people talk about the zone, and when he says that he isn't really concerned about anything else that's going on, that sounds like unbothered.
That is a sports psych. I thought of this the other day. It's funny this came up because I took a sports psych class in college, and we learned about this flow state that pro athlete, any athlete can enter, where it's like, yeah, it's almost like you're blacked out. Like you're solely focused on the task at hand, whether it's, you know, pitching, playing whatever sport it is, running, and then it's almost like you come out of it and you barely remember it. So it's this state of just being so focused and hyper intent on what you're doing that you don't even really recognize that the rest of the world exists.
It's a meditation. It's taking your daily activity and turning it into a meditation, because that's the only thing you're actually focusing on, where everything else is just, you don't think about it.
You know, I always was in NBA post-game locker rooms. I've always found it interesting the very different ways different kinds of great players would approach the game. There's no one right way to do it. Sometimes guys get so hyper-intensive into detail, and other times guys disconnect completely. You know what used to happen with Kevin Garnett? Where when he would say after a game, "I don't remember," he wasn't lying. Like, Garnett would get into a place where he was a different dude, almost like a fugue state, where LeBron or Bird could start from the moment the game began and tell you what happened on every possession.
Yeah, pitchers can do that.
Savant
a lot.
Stuff. Like, you know, golfers are like that. Mm-hmm. There are golfers who know every shot they've ever hit. They know the wind. They know the exact yardage. They know they could absolutely transmit themselves to that same spot in time. And there are other people who just kind of let it ride. And it's not necessarily, I'm not talking about a function of intelligence. Like, you get those people who are just so dumb, they're uncluttered. There's something to that too.
Same idea. It's all the same idea. Like, you're backing out all of the noise.
Yeah, the uncluttered athletic mind.
You're just pushing it away.
The uncluttered athletic mind is a thing. And it is a goal of so many people. That's why you get kids of a certain age who are great at a certain point, and the next year they're not, or with a little bit of pressure they're not. But just those people who don't feel, who are able to take the weight of the world off their shoulders in the moment, that's a thing.
That's why a lot of people get their best thoughts in the shower. It's because it's the only thing you're focusing on, typically. And so something will come to you.
Yeah, Doug Collins always talked about that.
Yeah. That's why.
Doug Collins always said he would get his, that's when he would get his best tactical ideas or his best lineup thoughts, anything about like that game.
Yeah.
Something about the combination of sensory.
It's your mind being uncluttered.
Stimuli.
That's flow state. There it is.
But we do have Marcus Stroman talking about the flow state.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm pretty locked in. Like, nothing pretty much phases me. I've just found a routine. I just know how to feel like it's just me out there, and I really don't see or hear much, to be honest with you. When I'm in that zone, I'm pretty good. So just a matter of getting to that zone and staying in that flow state, and then nothing really affects me, honestly. A hit or a missed call, none of that really throws me out of my wave, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and there's some guys who never even seek that. I mean, when Carlos Zambrano was great, even when he was at the absolute top of his game, his hair was on fire. And somebody would drop a ball, and he'd stomp around, and he'd blow steam out of his nose, and he'd threaten to kill the second baseman. But that was just the arousal level at which he had to operate.
Right, and that's life 101, is knowing what you need to do to be doing your job that day, whether it's taking a shower or pitching in a game. But it's a thing. Like, your fishing is a daily meditation.
Sometimes, yeah.
If you want it to be.
Sometimes, yes.
It's hard, obviously. Like, it's not an easy thing to do. I'm not saying that.
I'm also not competing with anybody but the prospective quarry.
Right.
I'm competing with the fish.
But point being, like, that can be your only focus. You can turn that.
Yes.
If, but it's hard. Like,
see,
it's,
for me, for
anxiety makes it hard. Life makes it hard, but it can happen.
Yeah. See, the idea of like fishing, especially alone, which I really do enjoy, just fishing by myself. To me, it's that sense of looking at the light, the water clarity, the wind,
presence,
everything, and then trying to select the proper lure and put it, like that feeling of knowing, of just sensing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it before where I've just seen a body of water on the side of the road, and I'll pull my car over and I'll take everything out and I'll just walk there and look and see and say, okay, it's if there is something in here, it's this lure in that spot right now. And the satisfaction of having, of getting one, doesn't have to be a trophy.
Right.
But knowing that something, you just, it's a puzzle. It's like, for me, everything is somehow in the context of solving a puzzle, but it's like knowing that you got it right is an immensely fulfilling feeling, to be like, all right, I got this one. I sniffed that one out. I somehow, something in here knew that at the end of the line, if I put it right there, there was going to be a fish there.
And to me, that's a different concept, a very good one, like in good execution, but just, yeah, you can have that. Like they say that anything in your day can be a daily meditation. But the problem is if you try too hard, then it's not.
Yeah, there's some people like who do it with cooking, where I would look at prep work of like dicing vegetables and all this, mm-hmm, as a chore. People do it with gardening and yard work, where, mm-hmm, it's a ritualize it. Make it a rhythm and a ritual rather than a chore.
It's just how they take their mind off of things.
It's really hard to do. I love the response we're getting to the soap talk.
Apparently, soap talk was something people appreciated.
Are you seeing this?
Along with soccer talk.
Yeah, but the 219 says, we used ivory on canoe trips because it floats. Other soaps don't. If you're 26 miles away from electricity for 2 weeks, your soap is at the bottom of the river on day one, you're screwed. That's true. And the 708, absolutely right. He says, sitting on the toilet reading a bottle of Dr. Bronner's Castile soap is like staring directly into the soul of a madman.
I actually also think that's true.
Of course it is. And the 815, how dare you? My father was killed by soap.
I'm really sorry about that.
I want to hear from Sebi Zavala when we come back. He gives us some very simple baseball wisdom about it. Take this to heart. For all you kids out there, take this to heart when it comes to pitching. Next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
There is strike three on a 3-2 pitch to a really tough guy to strike out.
It gives you an idea, the late movement of that fastball, even though it's a four-seamer.
He's ahead here, 0-2, and a slider is perfect right down the middle for his second strikeout in a row. Strike three, Naylor didn't like strike two. Kopech loves strike three, there is one away.
He was great, and you could see it right away. Because you could see the reactions of the hitters. You could see their body language as they were walking right back to the dugout. Michael Kopech, brilliant again. Is that, what, 15 innings scoreless?
And 19 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's strong. And after the game, Sebi Zavala was actually better than Kopech himself when he was talking about what was going on in his post-game interview on NBC Sports Chicago. Let's give it a listen.
It's electric. I mean, it makes it easy on me. I just have to call a fastball.
Simple as that?
Hell yeah. Just mixing a couple off speed here and there.
What is it about his fastball, Sebi?
They can't hit it. I got nothing else for you.
Well, let me ask you a question about the changeup, because early in the ball game you mixed in a few. Is that something you talk about before the game, saying, look, early we're going to establish that, we'll make everything look better?
No. With Kopech, it's all about the fastball, and everything else is just there for along for the ride.
What's he like on the mound? When you go talk to him, what are your conversations like?
I usually just tell him to relax, and then he's not relaxed, and then he throws his fastball as hard as he can.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Like I said, it makes my job super easy.
I want to ask about the execution in that five-run inning, too. You had a sac fly. There's another sac fly as well. Where do you feel like you are offensively, and where's this team offensively right now?
Well, me personally, haven't had the best year, but we're winning, and I said I'll go 0 for every time we win. So let's keep that going. But for the team, I asked for 10. They gave us 6, and I'll take 6.
You asked for 10?
Yeah. Ask for 10, I'll take 6.
Well, I'm sure they'll get there for you soon.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Why the fastball? They can't hit it.
What is it about his fastball, Sebi?
They can't hit it.
Well, he's right about that.
Sometimes with all of our fancy highfalutin numbers and matrices and StatCast data, baseball comes down to baseball.
That's exactly what that was.
That's what Sebi's, that was.
Sebi's a good teammate, man. He blew in Michael Kopech's eye, not COVID friendly, in the sixth inning in that mound meeting because he had a bug fly in it.
Yeah, was that? It's midges. Is that what? Because I know Ryan Porth was reminding us. Wasn't it Jabba Chamberlain in Cleveland that was like carried off in a cloud of midges at one point?
Well, it is by a lake. I seem to recall that. I always, for some reason, am interested in the bee video whenever bees swarm at a ballpark.
Well, there will be a queen.
The midges, and, yes.
Yeah, I don't know the difference between a midge and a gnat.
Yeah, I was thinking about gnats, which we had a really big supply of last year in these Chicago streets. Okay, let's try to fill in the gaps, because Sebi Zavala said it best. We'll try to fill in where we can. When it was high, it would go down and then back up again. When it was in the middle, it would go over the plate and then around and away. When it was lower, it would groove a bit and have some late break. There was everything pretty about it. He also throws two different types of sliders. When the fastball command is there, those tend to be also there as well. You know, the sweeper slider is the one with the bigger break. But
and
just,
the other is the gyro that has more of a drop.
And everything had movement, like every single thing. There's something like really happy to me to see a high fastball that just goes a little like this. Boop, at the end where it goes down and then back up.
It's an optical illusion. It's actually not due, but
like it because of the spin.
Yeah, they used to call that, you know, a rising fastball.
Yeah, the ride.
Which we know is just, it's not dropping as fast as your eye expects it to drop.
Correct.
But that's your classic four-seamer. And yeah. Sure, if you can, it's, you know.
That four-seam was hitting at 97, my friend.
Yep.
Nicely hitting at 97.
Yeah, okay. Well, more of this then. More of this. Because they've won 3 consecutive series now?
Yes. And your Sox math is looking better and better. And now they play Detroit.
Do it on the fly. Yeah, but Detroit.
Don't do it on the fly. We don't have to right now. We can be at peace with the Sox math and just know the math is mathing in our favor.
It's getting better as we knew it would. You're never as bad, unless you're the A's, you're never as bad as you are when it's going. And they, by the way, are you recognizing what's going on with Oakland? They really could be close to the 1899 Cleveland Spiders.
Dear God.
Like they are. Tracking all-time bad.
Also, why aren't the Guardians the Spiders? Best name. If you want to inflict fear in people's hearts, call your team the Spiders.
It was proposed, I believe. I think it actually, that was well considered for the rename.
I love that name. There's something old school about it. It's cool. I don't know.
Some people really are phased by spiders in a way that I guess I'm not, because I always think spiders are protagonists. I think they're with it because they're,
except when they bite and.
But they don't want to bite us. They want to eat. They want to eat the mosquitoes and the flies and all the nuisances.
I've had plenty of spider bites, but perhaps that's because I'm a nuisance. Yes, Studs.
No, my spider theory is. Oh, no. I understand it's. No, it's not as bad as the koala one, I promise.
No, the koala one's great.
Koala one makes sense.
No, I understand that spiders play a really important part of the ecosystem. I'm all for them, but if I see it, I'm going to kill it. I just don't want to see them.
See, if it's in my house, if it's a like a house spider, I will kill it. I've started to leave the centipedes, though.
Oh, God. Because, those things are weird.
Because they're also good guys. They are weird, but apparently the centipedes are also consuming the bad stuff.
Okay, see, here you can take that approach with spiders and multi-legged things. Where I come from, no. Those things are typically bad and will also hurt you.
Because they're venomous? Like you have brown recluses and black widows and all that stuff?
Oh, recluse. Is that original? We say brown recluse.
Brown recluse?
Yeah, those stink.
I always thought it was recluse, no?
We say recluse.
Brown recluse. Yeah, like, those will hurt you bad, yeah.
Might be original thing.
I'm sure it is. It's like umbrella and insurance. Do you say insurance?
No, that's I stopped that.
Well, that's a Southeastern thing.
I said it growing up.
What about umbrella?
No, yeah, umbrella. I mean, my mom also says police.
The police?
I'm like, geez, man.
Really? What about the hotel?
No, but police for some reason. I don't get it.
Okay.
I looked it up in the big book of beastly mispronunciation. She also says adult, but that's adult. Not technically wrong.
Adult, police, umbrella, insurance.
Yeah. A lot.
That was a big Southern thing for me, and I just always found that weird.
But insurance. Sure, I mean, I used to say it like insurance. Somewhere along the way, I stopped saying it like that. And I'm not saying like I used to say it like I was 5. I used to say it like I was like 30.
But like national commercials don't call it that. So if you're saying it that way, you're wrong. That was my point. Like if we're
Michael Kopech's from, the way they say Chevrolet is really weird.
What do they say, Chevrolet?
It's East Texas. Hold on, it's Chevrolet.
Chevrolet.
I'm like, what? Do what now?
Do what now? That's another one.
Yeah.
That's instead of saying what, do what now?
It's just a dramatic way of saying what.
I didn't tell you to do anything, but it sounds so subservient.
It's a dramatic way of saying what.
But I know, but it also sounds like so generationally subservient. Like you and people in your family are so used to responding to some superior to do something.
No.
Do what now?
It's not that serious.
I didn't tell you to do anything. If you want to do something for me, give me a cup of coffee.
It actually can be condescending.
I never heard it that way because there were a couple people I work with. Do what now? I didn't tell you to do anything. What the hell are you talking about, you weirdo?
Yeah, that's kind of the point, is to make you pause and.
No, trust me, this was...
I don't know. That's how we always used it. None of that is why you called. Tim Anderson, by the way, chipping in with a RBI hit. Okay.
Yes. Okay,
that'll work.
That's fine. That's we good. Need we that. Like. We like
Yeah, that's
things.
A step in the right direction as well, I think. Now and just the way they've been answering this Cleveland team whenever there's been a run scored in this series has been nice.
And does Cleveland kind of suck?
Yeah, that's a good question after what we just saw.
They don't look like they did last year.
No, but that's also because of starting pitching injuries, right?
But even just like the way last year they were
subtle and then strong.
But they would grind out at bats. They would pain your ass on the base paths. This team's kind of limp compared to last year's team. And maybe it's just maybe something they're going through. But just from what I've seen, they don't quite look right.
White Sox caught him at an off time in the first series. A week and a half ago. This series, they looked a little better just because Naylor's back. But like, yeah, it's not the same. And Cal Quantrill has been like, I feel like the Sox have fared relatively well against him. But if Kopech's going to pitch like that, game over. That was out. I mean, 10 strikeouts, one game followed by 9 the next. I don't care what team you're facing. That's just awesome. Yes, Dan?
The spider people and the centipede people are all coming out. Now we've got them all talking and everybody bringing up the other redneck words like theater and cement.
As long as everybody's having fun.
Coyote's a dead giveaway.
Coyote?
Are you having fun?
That's how
fun?
I say it.
You say coyote?
Oh, yeah. Everyone where I grew up says coyote.
Really?
Every single person.
And by the way, can we circle back to something here? When we had our conversation during High Noon yesterday about the guy who stole the backhoe, how did you know about whether or not how certain backhoes are able to be started and or driven?
Well, what do you mean? Like, my dad has had tractors. Like, it's
okay.
Yeah, a lot of people where I grew up had tractors.
Okay, I didn't know. I just felt like after a certain point south, you just automatically know how to operate a backhoe.
Yeah,
Dan is asking. Yeah. I
wouldn't know. I would sit there and I'd think it was like a Tonka truck that I had when I was a kid.
I had to know how to start the tractor because I had to mow the lawn every week. You know,
so. With a backhoe?
No, but it's. No.
My dad used a lawnmower.
The lawnmower that my dad had was like kind of a tractor. It was a tractor. It's a hybrid tractor lawnmower. It had. Yeah. So it's in the same vein as a backhoe, right? Because it actually had one on it. Well, his other tractor did. Sorry.
I get it.
Okay. I get it. I was just curious because there was something that was in my head from yesterday. Hey.
He also made his flight. I didn't realize that. Oh, we had a follow-up on the news yesterday.
Where was he going?
Somewhere out west. I mean, which is also something you would say.
It had to be. Right.
He stole backhoe, then got in the airport, went flying out west.
I'm telling you, it was for love.
I don't know what it was for, but now it's for being in jail because there's a warrant out for his arrest.
It had to be for love. It absolutely had to be for a sure thing.
Why was he carrying a guitar? I have so many questions.
Or as some people are pointing out here, guitar.
And like
he wasn't carrying a guitar. He was carrying a guitar.
The video is so good because he just casually rolls up in the thing and parks it and then just casually walks out at a normal pace.
The white zone is for loading and unloading only.
Like, wouldn't you like hop out of the thing and run? But then again, if it's a tiny airport, won't people notice you acting suspicious?
I picture him having a lot of luggage, like fumbling with multiple suitcases, and then he has to get the cart. You know, he's got to unlock the cart thing and bring it over and load it all up.
Oh my word! Like I have so many questions about this. I don't know why that one got me. You just have to see the video. It is on NBC 5 Chicago. And it's worth looking at, even though it's only like 10 seconds. It is 10 seconds of gold.
So Kyle Hendricks is starting tonight. Is that right? He's going on, continuing his Cubs career. And the symbolism of this, what he represents now is still kind of significant. I don't know if he's any good. I don't know if he can pitch anymore.
There's layers to this that I think we should explore.
Okay.
And we have other Cubs segments later in the show, just so you're aware. But I think, let's talk about Hendo next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
He's going to be a guy that's going to pitch through even when he's uncomfortable. And he was dealing with that for a while, but just continued to take the ball knowing the space we were in. A lot of guys were hurt early for us. He felt he carried a heavy workload and just... You know, the velocity, the pitch execution, all those things were just not to where he wanted to be. And, you know, I think part of his mentality is just to push through, and he got to a point where he couldn't anymore. So seems to be back healthy and everything moving forward. We'll see how it goes, but there's a lot of confidence when he steps foot on the bump.
That's David Ross on Kyle Hendricks, the Chicago Cubs scheduled starting pitcher for tonight. When we last saw Kyle Hendricks last year at age 32, he pitched to an ERA of 4.80 with a fielder independent pitching that tracked right there at 4.82. And he's been okay lately. He was really good in 2021, and we know what he's always had to be, and he's always had to be very exact, and that was his thing, that he could be exact, and he could be careful and always super aware and keeping guys off balance, because he was always a dinosaur, but he seems like more of an anachronism in today's game than ever.
Well, it's I guess if you want to be bolstered by one thing about that style, it plays to how the Cubs have built their infield defense.
True.
And if you can still do it, and we've seen a lot of pitchers who are known for that, they didn't have the velocity and they had to have that pinpoint accuracy and just absolutely paint the corners in order to stay alive. Yes, I'm thinking about Dallas Keuchel. That's what he used to do, induce the ground balls, induce the double plays, and that was his bread and butter until it wasn't. I think about Kyle Hendricks, especially with that capsular tear in his right shoulder and how that's going to affect him. You wince when I bring it up because you know what that means.
It sounds so bad.
It did. I mean, and the rehab was long, too, as we saw. He also came back after he was struggling in the minor league rehab assignment he had. You know, he came back, Dan, to Wrigley to throw that bullpen. Nobody embraces Cubs data like Kyle Hendricks. We know that. We saw it work out for him tremendously well. But it makes you wonder about, A, why they made the decision to start him in place of Jameson Taillon's scheduled start today, and then, B, what they want to expect out of him. What I asked Jed Hoyer about it yesterday, I said starting pitching, but I also asked him about the role, because I wasn't thinking reliever, but I was wondering about an opener, given how much mileage is on that shoulder.
I'm excited for him.
Thank you. Sorry.
You know, for the team. You know, there's sort of no one that's been more steady. No one's been a better teammate, and no one's worked harder to come back. And, you know, we've been through this process now for a while. He's been really diligent. And, you know, the first couple rehab starts didn't go great as he sort of reacclimated to competitive pitching after a while. But the last couple have been really good, and we're excited to get him back on track. And, you know, when he's right, when he's synced up and everything is all his command is there, I mean, he's as fun as it is to watch, just watching him, you know, carve hitters up and, you know, fool guys with his change up. And I'm excited to have that back on the mound soon.
I just wonder how long he's really able to go today. He is the last pitcher and really active player on the Cubs roster from that 2016 team.
That's it.
The entire roster.
That's it. He is it. He is the last one standing. I know that your manager was the catcher on that team, but it was a long time ago. It was 7 years ago. That's wild to think about.
And unfortunately, a lifetime ago compared to how we all live our lives now.
Right? It's wild to think about how different our lives were back then in those innocent times, because the world really changed very shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
As far as pitching is concerned, the game also changed, as we've talked about with the Cubs a million times.
The way the game is played changed, the ball changed, a lot of things happened. So I'll ask you this. Have you ever looked at the list of the most similar pitchers to Kyle Hendricks?
I know you have.
It's pretty wild. Because of how different he is, it's not like you can just sort of say, oh yeah, of course. But there's some crazy names in here. Brandon Webb is the most familiar. Cy Young winner, if I am not incorrect. Sinker baller with the Diamondbacks, who I believe won the Cy Young. Brandon Webb, Rube Curry. I have no idea who that is. Hiroki Kuroda.
Whoa. What?
Yeah.
Man, I'd have to go back and look.
Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Chad Billingsley, Teddy Higuera, Pat Jarvis, Ted Trent, and Doug Rowe.
Wheeler and Nola are the contemporaries here.
That's and didn't Teddy Higuera also win a Cy Young?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think he did. With the Brewers.
Can confirm that Brandon Webb won the NL Cy Young in 2006.
That was 06?
Huh. Teddy Higuera was second in Cy Young voting in 1986. He was
nice try.
Yeah, he was. He had himself a nice little career. It was Teddy Higuera. Then it was Juan Nieves. They had a nice run for a while there in Milwaukee. And similar pitchers through age 32 include Jake Arrieta, fourth, Dallas Keuchel, fifth, and Lance Lynn, 10th.
Contemporaries.
Yeah, and guys who are, and actually, as far as the ages go, when Arrieta was, I mean, that was done, and all of a sudden it was over.
Arrieta, though, like Hendricks, at least prior to that last start he made on the 5th of July last year, was still going through innings at a pretty good clip based on his starts. Like, through 6 innings the start before, 7 1/3 the start before, only went 4 1/3, but like 5, 5, 4, 5, 5 2/3, 8 2/3. Like, that's what you like the most out of him, especially with the combination of what we're seeing out of the other 3 starting pitchers that I asked Jed about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that they were very dedicated in his re-up assignment and dedicated in trying to get him back. So now we just have to see what this really is.
I also think that because of the speed at which, hear me out here, hitters are more attuned to pitchers working fast. So I'm a little concerned that Hendricks's previous advantage as a fast worker is now negated slightly.
Or he's...
Does that make sense?
Like, yeah. Oh,
the guys like
course.
Brent Suter, the guys who would always be like, I'm not necessarily quick pitching, but look, you get in the box and be ready to hit because I've got my rhythm. The fact that his rhythm probably synced up with the pitch clock well before.
Yes.
He loses that advantage now.
Yeah. Let's face it. One of the greatest weapons of quick worker B pitchers was their timing and just how batters would even try to call time and they wouldn't be able to.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples, even, of Mark Burley, who learned that and had successful careers in Major League Baseball, or at least like worked for a lot of teams, can tell you that. But now it's just time to see what it is. See who he is and see how this goes. They've won 2-3 against the Mets. Cubs did a nice thing in getting able to get some really quality hits off of Kodai Senga, who was laboring a little bit yesterday. And they're playing with a little bit of house money today against a team that wants to be a contender.
And just personally, I hope and wish the best for Kyle Hendricks. I really do. He's always been just a terrific guy. He's been one of these guys who just happens to be a baseball player.
Class act.
And it also just sort of seems like a normal dude who happened. It just so happens he plays baseball for a living.
And he'll tell you what made him good. I always thought that was really appreciated. I mean, we know Ivy League guy and all that, but He's not afraid to tell you what he had to do to get better. It's not a state secret to him. And I always appreciated that, you know, just teaching people who didn't get the opportunity to play the game, like me.
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to want to coach. He'd be a great high school coach. He'd be fantastic. I don't know if he wants to continue sitting around in
Major League dugouts. Okay, Jones prep over here.
Well, different. I'm just saying he would. I'm not saying because of my recent high school coaching experience now.
Which I think you should continue.
I enjoy working with the little kids more, but it would be creepy now if it's not your kid. You don't want to just sort of show, hey, I need a volunteer to teach hitting. I'm happy to help you out. I do socks math, too. I can show you all my socks math.
Stop it.
Can I teach your little kids hitting?
I hope everyone who participates in socks math this weekend has a wonderful time.
Was it Alex Kuhn, who said one of his buddies was a Sox math guy, right?
Yes.
And what do you say? He got a knit cap with Southpaw on it?
Was all
he got for winning?
There is an actual,
that's all you get?
There's an actual prize closet. I've seen it.
Reach into Abby's old drawers. I mean, that's like, shouldn't you get something more than a knit cap with Southpaw?
Hey, they get something from the prize closet. That's the deal.
They say your name during the game, Dan.
Oh.
On TV.
Man, you guys suck. Socksmith is awesome and for the people.
People are still commenting on the soap discussion.
Well, everybody uses it.
I know, hopefully. But there's 630. Yar, what about lava?
Lava is awesome.
Lava hurts.
Lava felt effective.
Lava soap hurt.
I like things that involve
sand.
Pain.
Didn't lava have sand in it? I mean, of course you're going to feel clean when your skin is gone.
Hey, they call it an exfoliant now.
Ah, yes. With a pumice stone or whatever those other things.
Bourbon and water, lava soap. These are the things that I enjoy.
No.
Pain.
Lava soap is like for real men doing real work, right?
If you work in art with clay, it was really good at getting off clay.
I thought you finish up work in the mines and you go home from coal mining and you use lava soap, right? You can't use like Irish Spring after you've been in the coal mine.
Wow, we were some victims of some branding, huh? That was a real commercial you just did.
But no, it's like the guys when I was staying, we were staying in the Holiday Inn Express Bourbonnais, and three people walked in, and I thought it was a bit because it looked like they were doing like blackface because their faces were, I mean, black. I don't mean brown. I mean, they were covered. They were wearing work clothes and they were covered in soot. And all you saw were their eyes. And they got free rooms. Like the guy, the manager came out. He's like, yes, we have rooms for you. And they were actual railroad workers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a deal that Holiday Inn had, or a certain group of hotels had, where as the workers were moving, like regionally, like down the railroad, they would stop wherever their work ended and be transported to a hotel to clean up and sleep or whatever. It was like, I can't imagine like the cancer rates and like they were, what could they possibly have been doing? They were turned completely black with tar and soot.
First of all, trains transport coal.
I don't know what.
Secondly,
it was.
They transport a lot of hazardous materials, as we just saw with that awful derailment in Ohio.
Yeah, I hope they get paid a lot.
I hope
they get government insurance. But
a lot of the deals now, the train companies have really
cut back on
not just their personnel, but also how much time those experts have to examine every car, which is why these derailments are happening. Like, they'll tell you because they're experts.
Sure, and it's also deregulation because people don't want to pay their taxes. Get government out of our life. Okay, you want government out of your life? Fine. Here's a bunch of toxic chemicals right next to your kid's school.
Just accidents that are preventable.
Yep,
and these guys will tell you they're preventable. Sorry, but not to cape for guys who know what they're doing, people who know what they're doing.
My first thought when I saw those people.
Cheers to people who know what they're doing.
I saw them like, I hope they have lava soap.
You did not.
That was like my first thought because I'm like, that's what lava soap is for. It isn't like.
Does lava soap exist anymore?
I think so.
It should.
But it takes you. It's like.
But like you feel the same way about Dawn. Like people have an emotional attachment to Dawn.
We can ask Cody Decker about soap because we really got to get to him.
I know.
Oh, shoot.
Cody Decker.
We're going to be like late to the.
Next, yeah, we're very.
The score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.